bring greetings of love in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome each one to this service, the visitors that are here with us. May God bless you as we share together in worship to God. I was really challenged by the Sunday school devotional this morning, and then also the Sunday school lesson itself. And I must admit that as I was preparing this message, I hadn't looked at the Sunday school lesson yet. So the message might be somewhat a continuation of the Sunday school, but I think it's important that we as a people of God recognize the greatness, the holiness, and the highness and lifted up of our God. Because if we begin to lose that focus, we begin to lose out on the greatness of God, we're not going to have quite as much endeavor, encouragement in serving him. Brother Quinton asked the question made the statement in our adult Sunday school about the live coal that was taken off of the altar, and it was placed upon the lips of Isaiah. And he said, you know, he would have jerked away. He would have pulled away from that. But maybe if we see the holiness and greatness of God, and we see our own selves as we really are, like Isaiah did, maybe we would not pull away. But maybe we would be more willing to allow God to cleanse us, because we see the vast difference between our state and God's holiness. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, I'm just going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to look at a couple other scripture passages. Mark chapter 6, begin reading at verse 31. And he said unto them, and this is talking about the disciples, after they had been out, he had sent them out, his disciples, his followers, he had sent them out two by two to preach the word, and he sent them out in faith, because he told them not to take anything along with them. And they had come back, and they were rehearsing and telling him what all they had done. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now just keep that passage of scripture in mind and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 20 and 21. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And then there's other incidences that I'd like to just recall to your mind and not necessarily turn to the scriptures, but in John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And we look at that and we wonder why he came at night. And there have been many people that have condemned Nicodemus for for coming at night, being ashamed of being seen with Jesus, being ashamed of the fact that he, a ruler of the Jews, would be coming to this despised individual. I had a great uncle. Jacob Stauffer was a bishop in the Old Order Church. And I think it was him. My mother used to say that a lot of people condemn Nicodemus for coming to Jesus, but Uncle Jake would say, "Is doch kumme." That means that at least he came. And we can look at Nicodemus, and we can look at all aspects, and we can roll around in our minds why he did it at night. And I don't know for sure why, but he came. That's the important thing. He came to Jesus. We think of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, where the little tax collector wanted to see Jesus, and he wasn't able to because there was that many people around him, and he was little and couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed up into a tree, and he waited for Jesus to come by. He wanted to see this man. He was interested in this man. There's many other scriptures that we could turn to and look at for individuals who have put forth effort to come and see Jesus or to be in contact with Jesus. But I take my message title from the phrase in John chapter 12 where they came to Philip and they said, "We would see Jesus." And I ask you the question this morning, in light of John chapter 12, how the Greek men came to Philip and asked him or put the question to him or voiced their desire, "We would see Jesus." What made them come to Philip? What made them come to Philip and voice that desire? Would people know to ask us if they have a desire to seek Jesus? Would they know to ask us? Would they recognize that we have been in contact with Jesus and might know where to find him? Does our life portray to them the fact that here is an individual that would be able to point me in the right direction? Here is a person that by their life, by their example, by their speech, by their reactions, would be able to point me in the right direction. And there's a few things I could mention. There's a few questions I could ask. But I'm going to let you think for yourself. My daily life. Would people ask me to see Jesus? But that's somewhat of a side note of the message that I would like to portray to us this morning. If Jesus were in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania today, what would we be willing to give up to go and see him? The The individuals in Mark chapter 6, when they saw Jesus leave, they ran after him. They followed him. In fact, they outwent him, it says. They got there before he did, and when he got out of the ship, as it says in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out of the ship that he had been in, and saw much people, there was a lot of people there already. If Jesus was in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania today, what would I be willing to give up? Would I be willing to miss work? Would I be willing to have a smaller paycheck in order for me to have the opportunity to see Jesus and to meet Jesus and to hear him speak and to get in contact with him? Would I be willing to miss a weekend at the cabin in the mountains? I'd be willing to miss a ball game. Ice skating. Skiing. A video night with friends. A date. Or would I be willing to miss just having an evening at home? So that I can go and meet Jesus. Is the desire in our heart to see Jesus? Now, I believe there's not an individual, a Christian sitting here this morning that would say that they would not be willing to give up a day at work or maybe even a weekend at the mountains or whatever, if they had the opportunity to meet Jesus face to face. Not one of us this morning would say, I would just simply go to work. Brother, sister, this morning, what are you and I willing to give up literally, not figuratively, literally, to have the opportunity and to have the experience of meeting with Jesus today? One of the questions that came to my mind as I looked at the Sunday school lesson is the awesome reaction that seeing God's holiness, literally seeing it and feeling it, what that brought forth in Isaiah's life. And I thought, well, why is God so secretive? Why doesn't he reveal himself more so that we might be able to get that glimpse? And so that we might have the same response that Isaiah had. First of all, he said, woe is me. And then when God cleansed him, he said, here am I, send me. Why doesn't God reveal himself like that to us today so that he might move us to do something? Brothers and sisters, he has revealed himself. And I believe we need to spend more time in the Word to see God. I acknowledge to you this morning that as your pastor, I have not spent the time in the Word that I need to spend. I ask your forgiveness for that. But I believe if we spend time in the Word of God, and we read, not only just read the Word of God, not just read through its pages, but study it and allow it to not roll off of us like water off of a duck, but allow it to penetrate us and to experience it. It's going to make a difference in our lives. If we go to the Word of God with the attitude that we want to see Jesus, God is going to be faithful in answering that prayer, and He is going to show us Himself. He's going to show us Jesus Christ. And He's going to show us ourselves. He's going to help us to understand that we are vile and sinful in the presence of a holy God. And we need the cleansing that is offered by that holy God in order to be useful to Him. But we need to have the desire in our hearts to see Jesus. It needs to be our choice. If we want to see God, we want God to be revealed to us so that we can have the experience that Isaiah had. Brothers and sisters, all we need to do is open our hearts and go to the Word of God. I believe this morning, brothers and sisters, that if each one of us is willing, and I ask the question, how much are we willing to give up? What would we be willing to give up? A day at work, a weekend, whatever. Brothers and sisters, that's not the question. The question is, am I willing to give up myself? Not just one day at work. Not just a smaller paycheck. Not just some time of pleasure and enjoyment that I was going to give to myself. But we need to be willing to lay ourselves on the altar. Give ourselves up completely. We need to recognize, like Isaiah did, that woe is me. When we read the scriptures, we need to recognize that I am vile. I am an individual that before God, I have nothing. And then allow God to cleanse us. And that live coal is the living Word of God in our lives today. Does seeing Jesus, and I have that in quotes on my notes here, does seeing Jesus mean any more to us than just a profession? And I ask you to stop and think about that a little bit. Does seeing Jesus mean any more to us than a profession? We profess to be Christians. We know what to say in certain situations. We know how to dress for certain occasions. We know where we're supposed to be on certain days of the week. Because that's all part of the profession. Fathers, mothers, If seeing Jesus is only a profession for us, we should not be surprised if our children don't even have the profession. If we really see Jesus, and I'm not just talking to the parents anymore, I'm talking to the youth as well. If we really see Jesus, if we really study the Word, if we feed on the Word daily, and we have a desire for that Word, and we allow the Word to open up to us so that we see Jesus and we see ourselves, it's going to be more than just a lip profession. It's going to be a way of life. And people are going to see by the way we live, by the way we act, by the way we talk, by the way we respond to situations, by the way we dress, by the way we eat. They're going to know that there's something different, and they're going to ask. I wonder sometimes, and I want to be careful how I say this, because we as Christians shouldn't be out trying to stir up trouble. But I wonder sometimes why we get away so peacefully. In a day and age when the world is turning more and more against God, in a day when our nation is rejecting the principles of God's Word, is rejecting the common morality that was accepted years ago because God said it, they're turning away from that. Why are we as Christians still living as peaceful a life as we are? What happened to Isaiah when he saw God and he allowed God to cleanse him, allowed God to send him and use him? What happened to him? He became a spokesperson for God and he was persecuted. I'm not saying that we go out and we make a big scene and we try and bring persecution upon us. That's not the case. But I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if we're going to be speaking out for God the way we should be, if we're going to be a witness and a testimony the way we should be, there's some individuals that are not going to like it. Satan's not going to like it. And we are going to face persecution of one sort or another. But that's not why we're going out there. We're going out there to spread the word of God. We're going out there to give people hope. But if we see Jesus, if we have the desire in our heart to see Jesus, the next step is to ask for the cleansing. Am I willing, when I see Jesus in the Word of God, when I see myself in the Word of God, I see me in relation to God, am I willing to confess as Isaiah did and say, woe is me? Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. First John chapter 2, begin reading at verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that was from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now we know these words. These are not new words to us. These are words that some of us could probably quote from memory. But again, the question comes to me and to you, am I willing to see Jesus? Am I willing to look at these words and see that these words are depicting me in relation to God? Now, I read the first couple verses there simply to get the aspect of who he's teaching or who he's talking to. He's talking to every age. And we can place ourselves there. But what I really want to look at is verse 15 through 17. Love not the world. The question again comes, am I willing, as Isaiah did, to say, woe is me. I have been loving the world. And it says here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If I desire the things of the world, if I desire those things that the world is suggesting, and I allow those to take precedent over my commitment to God, I got to have this. I got to spend time doing this. I got to have money so I can do this or that. I got to have this pleasure or this ease and enjoyment. I got to have this to make my life easier so I have more time to enjoy the pleasures that I spent money on. It's a never-ending cycle. We got to get more money so we can buy more toys and so we can get things that help us get our work done faster so that we have more time to spend with toys. And that means that we got more debt, and that means we got to work harder. And eventually, we really don't have any more time. Until it's all said and done, we find out that we've crowded God out of the picture. Because we've been spending time and money on ourselves. Am I willing to stand before God and before his holiness in light of the word of God and say, woe is me. I am undone. And John says, for all that is in the world, everything that's out there under the control of Satan, the world's system, the world's way of doing things, the world's desires and goals and aims. It's all wrapped up in three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You think about it. Sin and evil. What is it that can't be classified under one of these three things? He says here, that is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Do we see ourselves before God, as Isaiah did, in these matters of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are we actually comprehending the vast difference between our desires, our lusts, and our pride, and the holiness of God? Am I willing to fall before God and say, woe is me? He says there in verse 17 that the world passeth away and the lust thereof. All these things. Going to go away. Everything that we've worked so hard to accomplish and to accumulate, they're all going to go away. Do you notice what he says in the last part of that verse 17? But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Not his possessions, but he. As I read over that and as I studied for this message, that really impressed me. He's talking about the things of the world. He's talking about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All these things, they're going to pass away. But he stresses the fact, or he mentions the fact, that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's going to be us, brothers and sisters. It's going to be me. It's going to be you that will someday actually stand in the presence of that high and holy God. And we're not going to have a wagon load or a boat load of things that we're bringing along and saying, see what I accomplished. That's all going to stay here. It's going to be me. It's going to be you that stand before this high and holy God. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Another very familiar portion of scripture where Jesus gives the analogy of the sheep and the goats. The sheep being on the right hand, the goats being on the left. And he says to those on the right hand, he says, I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee like this? And they mention all those things. When did we see you like this? And I ask you that question this morning. When did we see Jesus hungry or naked or in prison or sick? He says in verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And his analogy goes on further, and he talks about those on the left that have not done that. And he says to them, because you didn't do it to the people around you, you didn't do it to me. So my question to you is this morning, Are you identified with Jesus Christ today? Because if you want to be identified with him on the day of judgment, when you stand before that high and holy God, and you want the blood of Jesus Christ to be your saving grace, you need to be identified with that today. You need to be willing to be living the life that God wants you to live. You need to be willing to say, "Here am I, send me," and you need to be willing then to go. And I believe God is telling us the same thing he told Isaiah when we say, "Well, how long?" He says, "Until the cities be wasted." There is no end of time for a Christian to be a Christian. That doesn't stop when you're 70 years old. It doesn't stop when you're 60 years old. It doesn't stop when you're 50 years old. The only time that you and I, in our flesh, stop being a Christian is when we die. And then we'll be ushered into heaven, where we'll be in the presence of God and Jesus Christ forevermore. But if we want to be identified with Jesus then, we need to be identified with him now. We need to be doing the things that God wants us to do, not serving ourselves. These righteous, they didn't know when they did it to Jesus, but they were serving Jesus in the things that they did in everyday life. Are you and I willing to place ourselves in that position today, come what may? Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," and I ask you, are we not living in that? "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Brothers and sisters, can you imagine with me the horror? Of having Jesus say, "I never knew you." But he says if we're ashamed of him today, he's going to be ashamed of us. But that doesn't end it all. Jesus also says that if we're given of God, and we all are given many things of God, but if we have those talents in our hand and we fulfill what God wants us to do with our lives, we're willing to allow God to cleanse us, allow God to place that coal upon our lips, and we're willing to say, "Here am I." We're going to hear the words of Jesus on that day when he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." Brother, sister, this morning, do we have the desire to see Jesus now so that we can see him and be with him forever in eternity? Sirs, we would see Jesus. Let that be our desire and our goal, to be more like Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.